Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. All over the world, we here at the Community of Faith, we love that fact that we get to say it's good to have you with us from all over the world. And literally, you people are listening all over the world. We literally have listening partners that are in, wow, every continent of the world. Hadn't thought about it that way until right then. I just made that statement. Every continent of the world. Hold on, I'm going to go take a look at the map.
You have a lot of people from Germany listening, paying attention?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Well, okay. The only continent we don't have is Greenland. Isn't that a continent? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 7 continents, right? Somebody know geography class?
A little bit.
Greenland is a country.
Yeah.
And it's cold. And I think they got penguins.
And it's cold. Anyway, so we welcome all of you to, and we thank you for being with us tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, it's a very interesting process of what God is doing with each of us. So not only do we love what God is doing as a whole with the community of faith around the world, but we love what God is doing with each of you singularly. And really, our prayer is that your life will be blessed in such a way that you will be able to experience God and not only experience him, but realize, you know what? I am really growing here. And I'm loving it. And it's a good thing. God's doing a mighty, awesome, wonderful, marvelous work in my life. And, you know, when you just look back and see how much you've grown and the areas that God has expanded your understanding in, every one of us have to say, wow, look what God has done in my life. Look what he's done in my life. Now, you know, I just want to do this. I want you to think about these thoughts, all right? On our Blog Talk Radio channel that we're broadcasting on right now, I want you to hear these numbers. 45% of our listeners are from the United States. You would expect that. 11% of them are from South Korea.
Wow, isn't that something?
9.9% of them are from Japan.
Wow.
7.7% of them are from Canada.
Amen.
6.1% are from the United Kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that something? No. Now, give me just a second here. Whoops, I got to stretch you out a little bit. Stretch. There you go. Now, Germany is 4%. France is 4%. Spain is 1%. Mexico is 1%. Brazil is 1%. And where was the other one at there? No, I guess that's all of them. The rest of them all say 1%, but all of them have hit 1%, stayed at 1%, and even though they may not continually be at 1% and be on the map, every nation that we've ever had anybody in is probably still with us. When you think about that, not trying to create any numbers to say, wow, aren't we something, You and I, we don't do anything to have these people. We just turn the thing on and say, hi, and glad to have you with us tonight. Because I don't know any way to advertise or anything. This is the work of God. You and I have no ability to take any credit. It's like Paul said, it is by grace through faith, because if it was of works, man could boast. But there ain't nothing to boast about here except the Holy Spirit of God, and say, would you look what he is doing right there in front of our very own eyes?
We share it with our family and friends from all over the world.
Amen.
I have family and friends in a dozen different countries.
Amen. And you know, this is just Blog Talk Radio. I haven't found any place yet in Zoom Zoom or YouTube to even be able to see where we go in those nations. I've looked and looked, and then I'm like, well, there ain't no sense of spending my time looking for it. Because I'm not bragging. I'm giving the glory to God that here we are streaming from North Dakota with all of you in your cities, wherever you are. And we are reaching. I literally believe we're reaching all the continents. Somebody look up the names of the continents for me. And we'll put a reality on that and talk about it. Anyways, YouTube, welcome. Facebook. Blog Talk Radio, welcome. We are glad to have you with us. Those of you that find this on Facebook, we're glad to have you. Remember this. We want to always encourage you to do this. Well, I'm going to make it a little better than an encouragement. I command you in Jesus' name, like, hit the subscribe button, and ring the bell so that you can be notified every time we go live and you can be a part of it. It doesn't matter how many numbers you get on YouTube. I don't care about numbers. If we have a million people, it doesn't going to matter, that except the fact that we're reaching all of you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And faith has come into your life and your family. And that faith is being ministered to and blessed by all of us. Hey, Brother Dan's here. Let's give three cheers for Dan and Gwen. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Wait, that's about eight hoorays, because it's like the lag gets you. Hooray, 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 hooray. Love you, Brother Dan. Good to see you tonight. God bless you, sir. So tonight, we're going to have a regular old community of faith open up the Word of God and teach right out of the Word of God. And doing it here in the studio. And shouting glory to God for all of his blessings in our life. And when we begin to see God, we gotta train our eyes to see past the natural. You gotta see past the natural. Sister Leanne has a great story. I think I want you to tell that story of that lady. Just give a synopsis of that lady with that business.
What lady with what business? Oh, from the women's meeting.
Yeah, but turn your camera on so they can see you.
Oh, I don't
have
a camera ready there.
Just turn your camera on so they can see you.
Hello.
Everybody wave at Sister Leanne, and she's going to tell you a really cool story.
Yeah, this was a really cool story. At the women's meeting in Chicago, there was a lady that was on the panel that was talking about your faith and expectancy. And she actually outlined seven steps of your faith walk. And she was kind of, I guess you would call her a troubleshooter for different businesses. And there was a welding company that she had been with for several years. And she would go into their business a couple of times a year and give them new information on things they can do to improve things, find out any things they're having problems with and help them solve them, just to keep things running more smoothly. Well, she had
She's like a consultant.
Yes, yes, a consultant. She had gone in, and one of the guys, after she got done with that consultation time, she was going to set up the next timer, see when they would need her back. And the guy said, well, let's set you up for 6 months. But he said, I'm not sure we're going to need you, that they're closing the business. And she was just shocked because she loved this business, loved the people, had been with them for years, and just didn't imagine that ever happening. And I don't remember what the details were of why they were going to close it, but she said they can't do this. And so she called the owner later, it was a couple of weeks later, and said, what is going on with this? And she said, would you by any chance consider selling this business to me? And he just laughed, like, it's kind of a joke. And he said, no. He said, there's actually a company in California that's interested in buying it. And he said, so we're probably going to be doing that. And she said, well, okay, but if anything changes, keep me in mind, because I know this business inside and out, and I love this business, and I love your people and whatever. So that ended the phone call. Well, she immediately started rebuking the possibility of this California company taking over this business, and started calling the business to her. And she said, I am not kidding. When I would be sitting at stoplights, I would be calling this business to me saying, it is mine. This business belongs in the kingdom of God. I'm a woman of God. I'm a child of God. I deserve this business. I want this business. And I rebuked that California business taking over this and doing something wrong with it. And she just stood on it. And she said she just kind of knew in her heart, too. She was expecting, because of her words she was speaking and knowing her stand biblically, she just stood on it. And I don't remember, I don't recall now how long it took before the transaction happened, but actually the paperwork was in motion with the California company. Something happened and it fell through. This owner wound up calling her and saying, what were you thinking about this business? Well, long story short, she wound up with this business. And she said, people keep, when they tell about this story, they say that this woman inherits this multi-million dollar business for $10. And she said, I have to tell you the $10 story. She said, I actually didn't even pay that. When they were there doing the closing, there was a little blip on the bottom of the paperwork that said $10 for filing or printing or whatever. And she said, oh, I can do that. And she started to pull a $10 bill out of her purse to hand it to them. And they said, oh, you don't have to do that. We'll take care of that. And she said, okay. So she said, I put my $10 back. So she wound up with this company free, turned over to her. And it's just amazing. And this is not the only story. This is just the one that we've heard firsthand from the new owner of this company. And she's had it for many years now, and it's doing wonderful. And so there is the story of standing on your faith, knowing who you are in God, and expecting Him to move.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And, when you think about that level of miracle happening,
yeah,
for that lady. And then we study those verses, occupy till I come. You realize God is wanting to do something like this for everybody.
Yeah. He's wanting the kingdom.
He wants the kingdom to be blessed.
Yeah.
And He wants business to be in the hand of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, you might say, well, I don't even want that, Pastor. What would I want with a welding business? Well, you might not want a welding business. But the idea is, want what the Father has designed for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to heaven, you'll give an account of what He designed for your life.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, I thought about that once, Pastor, but, it's over. God don't care. No, He cares. He cares very deeply. And He wants you and I to be good stewards of His wonderful gift that He put on the inside of us. And I thought that was such an amazing story because you're like, they just up and gave you that welding business. Now, you might not, somebody might not up and give you a welding business. That I'm not trying to make you like that lady. It's a wonderful story of someone who heard God make a statement and then went in.
Yeah.
When you think about Joshua taking the land, none of that land belonged to them physically, but all of it belonged to them spiritually or supernaturally. And you and I live in a natural world, but we are from a supernatural kingdom. And so God is continually working those two things so that you and I can not only advance, not only occupy, not only be here, but take ground for the kingdom and grow and develop in the things of God. And, you know, it's one of those things that we began to say way back, and then for some reason we've just not said it much recently, but I'm going to break it out and begin to make the declaration again. And that declaration is, the number one characteristic of a successful Christian believer is a teachable spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one characteristic, is a teachable spirit. Having a spirit man, a being, all of you, that will allow someone to teach it something. And people who are not teachable, the Bible calls them a fool. I mean, I didn't, but God did.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those statements we used to make all the time, and we're going to continually make it because it's the number one successful ingredient of a marriage is a teachable spirit. Husband has a teachable spirit. Wife has a teachable spirit. They're guaranteed to make it. You may not be married, but you have a father. You know, his name is God. And what he wants from you and from me is that we would be teachable. And then when he's got to drag you through the mud to get you somewhere, that's not very much of a teachable spirit. And what we find out is somebody somewhere taught us to resist the leadership of the Father. Well, why would you do that? When he wants to give you the greatest, the Father's delight to give you the kingdom of God. Of that,
amen.
That is amazing. Anybody search up how many continents there are in the world?
I didn't, but you know, I remember two Phyllis's son was given at school, I believe, right, Phyllis? And these are the things that we need to start expecting to happen in this last day. Father said, I will give you houses you didn't build, land you didn't.
Yes. Yes, very much. Now, there you go. The seven continents, North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, and Antarctica. We do not have anybody streaming with us in Antarctica yet.
Hmm.
Everybody get your faith on it?
Signal might be frozen.
The signal might be a little chilly there, but we'll get there. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. Enough of that. It is 5 minutes after 8. Let's open up with our prayer like we do on a regular basis. Whoops. Better get my clicking in the right order.
Wow.
What happened? Did I click something wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you disappeared.
Just had about 50 screens open behind.
That works. There we go. So, here we go. Let's make this declaration together. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy
Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your
Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen and amen. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10, God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed, and I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. We fulfill the Great Commission today, and Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Amen and amen. And now, God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations: United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, New Guinea, and all the nations of the world. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Yes. Thank you, Father, for your grace gift in my life. For your grace on your gift in my life. The fivefold ministry and the body, Ephesians 4:11. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about it. We get to be filled with all the fullness of God. There is a reason that Holy Spirit has us repeat these verses all the time, because he wants this message, this word about the body of Christ and the fivefold ministry gifts. He wants it so deep in our lives that it is the guiding force of everything that we are. If you don't know who you are, you won't know how to hang on to what belongs to you, and somebody can come steal it from you. But once you know what belongs to you, you'll never surrender it to anybody. Once you knew you were born again, you're not going to give your born-againness up to anybody for any reason. And so thank God for his blessing in our life. Here we go. Ephesians 4:14. So that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose their wicked plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers. Use me to be a blessing to others. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. And we thank you, God, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, our final prayer, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
The great amen.
And the great,
amen.
Amen, Roger. And now, let's go to our opening verse. How do I turn that video
Rebecca
back?
Rebecca looked up your continents.
Rebecca did.
Well, thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Europe, North America, America, South America, Australia, Asia, Antarctica, and Africa. All of the seven continents of the world. Now, I want you to go with me tonight. Tonight's message is, tonight's teaching is, walking with God like Jesus did. So I want you to go with me first to John chapter 5. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word.
I love John, the majestic word of God.
The majestic word of God. John chapter 5, and I encourage you. I know some of you may be on your phone, and that's good, but I encourage you, get out the hard copy. You know why? This one doesn't ding, it doesn't blink, it doesn't buzz, and it can't receive any text or emails. It's just the holy, living, breathing word of Almighty God, and it is here tonight to change your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession about the Word of God. You ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's
I
Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I
because
am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My
resident teacher,
is
making His word come alive,
in my life today.
I receive the word of God
and
plant Him as a seed
in
the good soil of my heart,
producing
a hundredfold return and more.
In
my spirit, soul, and body.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. My first verses that we're going to is John chapter 5. But while we're on the way over there, when you read 1 Thessalonians 5, hang on, I got to grab the reference. I think it's verse 25. Is that right? 23. Paul prayed, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then he said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Son of Man. And so you and I got to look at this and say, wait a minute. It's not just I gave my heart to Jesus. That's my last step I have to do. That's our first step. And God wants us to get our spirit, soul, and body across the finish line and be preserved blameless. That's cool. The fact that the Holy Spirit said it through Paul means it's possible. And it means that every believer should be able to experience that. Well, you know, Pastor, I agree with that, except, you know, if you knew what happened to my life, that makes it very difficult to experience it. But then, see, that's not what the Bible says. If it's in this Bible, it's available for every person who can read them verses. And those that can't read them, if they can listen to us teach them, even if they can't read, we can lead them by the hearing of their ears and the openness of their heart and be led into it. John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 16. And we're going to go down through, what did I tell you?
You didn't yet.
I didn't yet. Well, we're going to go down through,
You're going to make Phyllis yell, just read the whole chapter.
Well, I think we're going to do it. 16, clear to the end, 47. It's not my focus verses, but, you know, why would we stop Jesus in the middle of a thought?
We would not.
We would not. Here we go.
There's a dozen sermons in those verses.
Oh, there's a whole sermon series in there. Like, we could preach a whole year. Like,
sermon
like,
series, yeah.
Here we go. Verse 16, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Shouldn't surprise us when people try to kill a man or woman of God. Why? They're being just like Jesus. And the devil don't like it. So what's the devil do? He stirs somebody up to kill him. Aren't you glad we got the angels of the Lord to surround us and protect us and keep us safe?
Amen.
Because he had done these things on the Sabbath, Jesus crossed the biggest line with everybody. Except God. Did you know that? Notice that? To understand something. Jesus confronted their Sabbath understanding because he was led by the Father. Remember what he said? I only do what I see my Father do.
Yeah.
I only say what I hear my Father say. Keep going. I got to stay focused because I want to preach about 15 different sermons all at once. Jesus answered them, my Father's been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. If you're seeking to kill somebody, how can you seek more than to kill somebody? They sought all the more reason. And does that mean there was 37 more Pharisees that said, I'll join you? All right. He not only broke the Sabbath, but also they said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus answered them and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. That is such a powerful lesson all in itself right there.
It is.
I could end right there and we would have said enough for one night. For whatever he does, the Father, the Son also does in like manner. Look at what Jesus does, verse 20. For the Father, see, Jesus is making every bit of his work about what he sees the Father do and what he hears the Father say. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does and will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now, hold your finger there in verse 21. Think about John 14. What did he say? These things and greater. You ready for this? Will you do? Take my long bony finger and point it at yourself and say, yeah, that means you. You will do. The other day we were in, on the way home, we were in the UP. And we stopped in, we stopped a lot. We were not on a shop-a-lot, but we were on a stop-a-lot, all right? But Ishpeming, we stopped in Ishpeming, and there was a pasty place that said they sold maple syrup. So we were looking for maple syrup from Michigan because it's better than anything they got out here. And they didn't have it. But they had these pasties, and or pasty. How do you say it?
Pasty, potato, tomato.
Pasty or paste. Anyways, they're delicious.
Pasty because
there's these little bread things, and then they put meat and potatoes and gravy in it, and not very many seasonings. They could have had a few more seasonings in there for me. But anyways, So we're eating these, and while we're eating this, we didn't need to, but we just did because it was there to eat.
And that's the only place they sell them in the world,
and,
isn't it?
And we're tourists, so what do? You stop and eat. Oh, there's another restaurant. Let's stop and eat. But while we sat there, there was this little motorhome thing sitting there, made by Mercedes, and then a dually's in the back. And
oh, yeah.
Nice little motorhome. And I'm like, wow, look at that. That's pretty cool. That's a lot nicer than this car we're riding in, although we thank God for a car. But anyways, the guy came out, and I was overlooking at it, and he walked up. And as soon as he walked up, he had this tumor sticking right out of his stomach, like about that far. And so I asked him about the vehicle so I could open up the opportunity to say, well, can I pray for you? You ain't never seen anybody get inside a vehicle, shut the door, and back up as fast as that man did. He did not want to talk to me. Why? Because the works that Jesus do, we'll do. And greater. Did you hear? All right. I got a show me person here tonight. You just got to go there. John 14. It's all right. We're just here studying. I don't have nothing to prove to nobody. I'm just going to teach the word that God gives me to teach. And I think it's awesome. Let's go to John 14. Verse 11 and 12. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Remember what Jesus just said? The Son can do nothing of himself except what he sees the Father do. The Father was doing the works through Jesus.
What'd you do, John?
14, 11, and 12. Ready?
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong? Mm-hmm. Oh, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, that's Jesus, he will do. Say, I'm the he or her.
I'm the her.
He will do also and greater works than these. He will do, because I go to my Father. You and I are going to do greater and greater works. Now, I know this stretches a few people. We're going to do greater works than what Jesus did.
Amen.
Now, when we say that, we always allow a moment of ponderment. You know what ponderment is?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that stuff you buy in a bag and you throw it out in the backyard and it makes a pond. I don't usually get them. I always get them that easy, right?
Well, no. Keep in mind that Jesus had 3 years. 3 years of ministering on the earth. If we are young enough when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and dedicate our lives to glorifying God, we might very well go on for 100 years of being a minister, an ambassador for God, a priest, doing the things that Jesus did when he walked on earth. I mean, if we are his hands and feet, we are expected to do what he did. And so if we do that for 60, 70, 80, or 90 years, it's going to add up a lot more than 3 years.
Yep.
So just meditate on that for a few minutes and then decide you're going to
go do something
besides warm the pew.
besides being a card-carrying member. All right, let's go back to John chapter 5 now. We just had some people from Missouri here, so we did. Watch this. Verse 21, I'm in John 5:21. We're going to get to the end of this chapter. I truly believe it. I don't know about all these notes I have, but we're going to get to the end of the chapter. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, Even so, the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Think about what Jesus taught. If you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, in that prophet's name, you shall receive that prophet's reward. And Jesus said then, if they don't receive you, then they don't receive me, because I sent you. And they got to receive you in order to be able to receive me. Now, there's two points to that. Number one, if you're such an obnoxious believer that nobody wants to be around you, of course nobody will receive you. Fine-tune your life. Or if you've been so beaten down and confused and destroyed by trauma and everything else, you might be something that God didn't make you, but you got to get rid of it and get free of it, and God's going to help you do that right here on this program. Verse number 24. I'm going to just stay at this and get it done. You ready? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Why? Because Jesus is life. And when you believe in him, then you get the life that he offers. Watch this. 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Remember what Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Say this with me. I receive abundant life.
I receive abundant life.
And I give abundant life.
And I give abundant life.
Amen. Now see that? Now all of a sudden we've got a responsibility and accountability for our actions and how we're functioning on this earth. Why? Because Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. That's what we should be doing, because we're going to be just like him. Keep reading. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Man, that just scares me. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear the Father, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Notice that he's capitalized. All right? That's the Father. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I don't receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his life. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his voice, seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. And who was that? That was Jesus.
Jesus himself.
That was Jesus himself. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Is the word of God filled with eternal life? Yeah, it is, but not if you don't receive Jesus. Right? Keep reading. You're not willing to come to me that you may have life.
Wow.
Wow. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And you can guarantee that these men not only sought all the more to kill him, but they sought all the more to kill him, because they honestly just did not understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. They, if you want to say it, they were clueless. Now, I want to read next those verses. I thought it was Luke 11, but I don't see it there. Somebody help me find the verse where Jesus said, they don't receive you, they don't receive me. He received a prophet in the name of a prophet. And that's something. Maybe it's not Luke. Matthew 11? There you go.
Matthew 10.
Matthew 10?
41.
41. There it is. All right. Matthew 10, 40 through 42. This is when Jesus sent the 12 out the first time. Remember, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church. They were deputized under Jesus' authority to go into the world. And what did he tell them? Verse 8, heal the sick. Right, verse 7, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Verse 40, he who receives you receives me. So there was going to be thousands of people as those 12 went out that were going to receive Jesus because they received the 12. Jesus said, he who receives you receives me when we go in his name. He who receives me receives him who sent me. So the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus is sending us, and people have to receive us to be able to receive Jesus. Verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Well, Jesus wasn't the only prophet, because Jesus himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. What were those gifts? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, you ready? You might not be a prophet. He who receives a righteous man or woman in the name of the righteous man or woman shall receive a righteous man's reward. Well, Pastor, how do I have enough money to reward everybody? This isn't a money reward. This is the reward of receiving from God that which Jesus gave us according to his word. The Holy Spirit inspired us according to the Father's leading. We see what the Father's doing. We hear what he's saying, and we take it to those around us, and they receive it. Hey, Juliana is with us. Juliana Hindang. Shalom to you. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now, when you think about what Jesus is teaching about being one with the Father, I gotta find my place. Where was I? John chapter 5. About being one with the Father. And then he begins to tell us that we're supposed to be one with the Father. All of a sudden, we have a whole different point of view about the kingdom of God. Because it's not to make us a quote-unquote Christian. It's to make us a believer. And as a believer, these signs will follow those who believe. Let's turn over there to that. Brother Charlie, you got your seed here with me. Call you blessed, man. Thank you. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is verses 14 through 20. Check this out. Angel Collier's with us. Hey to you too, girl. Here we go. Mark 16, 14 through 20. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, you might say, well, I would believe Jesus. I would believe if I would have been there. But you and I have seen people that have received great and mighty miracles and still sometimes have a problem believing.
Isn't that something?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a testimony right now. What do you do except testify, right? Even if it straightens your own self out while you're testifying. Do we have any left out there? Because I felt the same way. I reached for my cup the same time you did.
It's really sad when it's empty, isn't it?
It's really sad when it's empty. When I first started going to Dr. Barclay's church, of course, I was not a pastor then. And I was just part of the Ministry of Helps. And I was attending SMTI, which is the Bible College that is a supernatural Ministry of Helps training institute. And so I started out as an usher and security guy and all around do whatever needed to be done. I was just glad to be somewhere where I was growing in God, had an opportunity to use my gift, and I wasn't having to be in front of people. I felt like most of my life I was put in front of people and I didn't feel ready to be there. And yet maybe that's what God was telling me to do is be there. And I was ready and I was just taught to be hesitant somewhere. Who knows? Anyways. But they were having I would imagine it would have been a leadership conference in December. And as always is the case with Dr. Barclay, he always has a fellowship for the pastors that show up so that pastors can get together, communicate with each other, build relationships, establish friendships, and do the things that as pastors, as fellow shepherds, that we need to do so that we can grow and be strong and have great relationships. And so my friend Chalmer and I, Chalmer was my right-hand man when I began the ministry in West Branch, and we were serving, and so we were getting ready, and they asked us to show up early on the night of the ministers' fellowship meeting, which was to go on after the program. And so we were there, and the ladies came out of the building, and they said to us, it was before service even, they're like, guys, we got to pray. We've got to see the fishes and loaves happen tonight, because we have food for about 75 people. And they're saying there's probably going to be about 150 pastors here tonight. And it's 5 o'clock. And of course, where are you going to find enough food in that city to go send somebody to go get it all brought in, get it all set up, do everything, and have it all done in 2 hours? That's almost an impossible situation. So the lady said, a couple of them said, so let's agree together in prayer that we'll have the fishes and loaves. So Brother Chalmer and I, we grabbed their hands. They grabbed our hands. We're in faith. There's four of us there. We were in faith. We said, in the name of Jesus, food multiply. And, of course, there was probably 150 pastors there that night. After the service was done, they all went to the fellowship area and ate and was blessed and had fellowship. And that fellowship lasted for probably an hour after the service. And when everybody left, those same two ladies came to Brother Chalmer and I and said, dude, you guys got to take some food home. We're going to end up throwing all this food away. Not only had they fed every one of those pastors, but there were jars, those big gallon jars of pickles and relish and mustard and ketchup, and there was cakes and there was sandwiches and potato salad. It was just like, or coleslaw, whatever it was. There was just this whole table of food that was left over after everybody had eaten. And they were like, you guys better fill your trunk on the way home and take it home and give it to somebody or something, because we got too much food here. Well, this is why I said even your own testimony can straighten you out. I saw that with my own eyes. I saw that which was multiply into that which was not. And how many times in my own life have I looked at a situation and said, there's not enough, spoke my faithlessness, there's not enough, and I ended up having not enough. And when Jesus showed up to rebuke me, I said, well, I wouldn't be like Peter and the disciples and not believe what I'd already seen. But as I began to tell you the story, I'm like, you know what? Even in my own self, after seeing that with my own eyes, just like those disciples, there have been times where I've looked and said, there's not enough. And then spoke, there was not enough. And then received not enough, and then wondered why not enough showed up in my life. In the parable of the talents, what did Jesus say to the man who had one talent and did nothing with it? He said, by your own words, you will be condemned. I will judge you by your own words. And God help us. Let's get to verse 15. Mark 16. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know whether or not you were just corrected and instructed, or you received that as anything except, yeah, Pastor, get your stuff together. But I wasn't rebuking you. But it's a very powerful lesson for us that how many times have we seen God do something for us? And yet, if we're not careful, the words off of our lips will be, this isn't happening. When many times in our life, we've seen it happen. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. You want to shout it? I clicked you guys' mics off because I was getting the background noise somewhere, but you can click them back on. You want to shout it? I believe. Everybody's shouting, but they can't hear you because your mic's off. Anyways, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's not a maybe. That's not a might be. That's not a could possibly be somewhere in the future. Jesus said that as a declaration of what's going on. Verse 19.
Absolutely.
So then after the Lord had spoken to them, of course, he's on the Mount of Olives, or he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. As he spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. John chapter 15. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Remember that tonight's message is called Walking with God the Father like Jesus did.
Love the majestic word of God.
Amen, Roger.
John 15, verse 9 through 17. 9 through 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. When we walk with the Father, Jesus' joy remains in us. Can you imagine what Jesus' joy is like? And then it says, and that your joy may be full. Well, we used to sing the song in the old church, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
You Baptists really need to get a different hymnal. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable,
unspeakable and full of glory,
and the half has never yet been told. But see, Jesus is saying that if you're walking with me, you're going to live a life full of joy that is Jesus' joy. And then the joy of the Father. This is verse 12. This is my commandment that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Now look at verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. How many people in the day we live are singing the song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And then they post all kinds of wickedness on their Facebook page. You're probably not God's friend. You probably want to be. But if you're a friend of God, you're going to function in the word that he gave us. What are the commandments of our generation? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, these are the commandments God's given us. Look at what it says, 15. No longer do I call you servants. That must mean at some point Jesus called them servants. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus is literally saying that you and I can get to the point where what we say, led by the Father, by seeing what he's doing and hearing what he's saying, that everything we say is going to come to pass. You might say, Pastor, that's almost impossible. It wasn't for Jesus. And Jesus said, what I am doing, you're going to do, and greater things than these are going to do in my name. The answer is that you and I build that relationship with the Word of God and with Jesus, that we will be found doing and saying what the Father has done and said. Let's look at another verse that says the same thing. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
I have been studying this thought process that we are to be one with the Father for a long time. Probably, well, I was looking at some of my notes from the beginning. And I began preaching it in September of 2020. Nope, 21. Nope, 20. Who knows? I saw it in a note somewhere. Wait, let me see. It's right here in this note. Oh, there you go. March 10th of 2019.
Oh, wow.
And September 24th of 2021. You might say, are you a slow learner? No, I truly believe I'm diligently seeking God. I think what all of us have to say is what the Apostle Paul's getting ready to say in these verses. And that is, Father, help me grow up in you so I'm no longer a child. or childish in my faith and in my attitude about God. If you were with us this morning on the morning program, Brother Dutch Sheets said three very powerful things in his prayer. He said, easy doesn't always do it. It's just the thought that counts. What was the third one?
Oh, my goodness.
Easy doesn't always do it. Dan, you remember that? I'll get it because I got notes. Ignorance isn't bliss. Easy doesn't do it. And it's not just the thought that counts. Three lies of the enemy to get us to back off of doing things God's way.
Yeah.
And this reference was to David moving the ark. No, there's a very specific way to do that. And yes, God thoroughly expected them to do it that way. And when they didn't do it that way, it ended up costing a man his life. Why? Because he didn't do and follow what God had given him to do. Now watch this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I say that an heir, as long as he is a child or childish, does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the master of it all. Let's break it down. Are you and I supposed to be one with the Father?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Does the Father want to have a one-on-one relationship with you by the power of the Spirit? Oh, yeah. Did God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit come and live on the inside of you when you were born again? Oh, yeah. But the heir, Romans 8, 14 through 17, but the heir of God and the joint heir of Jesus, as long as he is a child or childish in his understanding of God, does not differ at all from a slave, even though he is the master of it all. This is a pretty powerful word right here, isn't it? But is under guardians and steward until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth the fullness of his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, to buy us back, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Adam fell, Adam sinned, severed that father-son relationship with us and God, and Jesus had to come and redeem us by his blood, buy us back from the slavery of the enemy by the blood of a lamb. Stay with me. And he did it.
And he did it.
Want to shout it? I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Pause, 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 pause. All right. Hey, thanks, Dan. I see you made the note in there. Now watch what this says. To redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. But don't stop. Read verse 8. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, You serve those which by nature are not gods. So what is the answer? Knowing God. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. I'm not going to read them all, but that's the reference point. Philippians 3, 7 through 17. Thank you. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. Look at this. That I might gain Christ and be found in him. I love these verses. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. You keep the Sabbath. You don't say any bad words. You don't smoke, drink, chew, or run with those who do. You don't go to movies. You don't dance. You don't have any fun. You're uglier than homemade sin, and you're as gnarly as the old cuss down the road.
Wow.
That's your own righteousness. See, that's not what God wants from you. God wants you to have Jesus' righteousness. Watch what it says. Verse 10. No, wait, 9. I'm going to read 9 again. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Pastor, how in the world can I have righteousness from God by faith? I have to have righteousness in my flesh and do it myself. Did you hear the statement that's in that?
Mm-hmm.
I've got to do it myself. And when you go to the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, all through there, it says that it is not of works, because then you'll boast. God doesn't want us boasting in anything except the righteousness of God. Let's keep reading. The end of 9. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And of course, you and I know that as we walk with God, we will be raised from the dead with Jesus. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, that's you and me, we're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. When the beeper beeps, I get my tea out of the microwave. I just caught the microwave beep. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, whatever you lived in the past, pressing forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Paul didn't say you can't be perfect. Because Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Jesus said to you and me and everyone that had gathered on the sermon Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Isn't that something? I knew exactly where those verses were. Somebody tell me where that verse is.
What does it say?
Be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's Matthew. Yeah, there it is. Matthew 5:48. I just had to shut my brain down and let my spirit do the talking. Right? Remember when it used to say, let your fingers do the walking and the
elevator?
Yeah. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I always have some Missourites with me when I read that. So don't freak out. Just hold your finger right there and go with me to 1 John chapter 3. And let's go down to verses 4 through 9. Remember what he just said. Be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. 1 John 3, 4 through 9. What did I do? Did I go too fast?
No.
All right. Take a drink of coffee and let you catch up.
Everything disappeared.
All right. Got to be careful about those buttons you click. Hey, thanks, Brother Dane. I asked him a question. He answered, and then I didn't see it.
Okay, 1 John
3:4-9. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take our way of sin, our way our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Pastor, this is impossible. No, it's not. What's impossible is trying to reach it with your intellect. Mm-hmm. You got to reach this with revelation. By revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. Little children, let no one deceive you. Little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And in the Samuel J. Cottle paraphrase, I add, and he did destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, you, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Are you a new creation or aren't you? If you're a new creation, no, I'm wiping that out. Erase. Since you've been born again, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things. What does all include? Well, you know, Pastor, it includes all except cussing. No. Trying to stop cussing in your own strength. Well, all things include all except, you know, like flirting. No. You're trying to do it in your own strength. All things means all things have become new. but you can't do it in your all your own strength. You got to do it in this righteousness, which is by faith, which the Apostle Paul just said, which is what you learn when you're no longer a child under the tutors, and you have now said, "Woo! I get it. I receive it. I receive you, Jesus. I'm going to be perfect just like my Father is perfect." And here's the Apostle Paul. The book of Philippians was written at the end of his life while he's in the prison in Rome. So Philippians chapter 3, Paul's writing in Rome. And look at what he says in verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected as I will be when I get to heaven, but I press on. What is he pressing on to? That he can lay hold of the next revelation that God's got for him. Hold your place. Mark chapter 4 says very plainly, there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, and nor has anything been kept secret, but that it won't come to light. And we always did this like, well, your sin's going to find you out. But that's not even what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about revelation. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. I press on that I may lay hold of that which was hidden for me from Christ. I do not count myself as apprehended. The guy's chained to a wall in the dungeon sewer of the palace, and he says, I'm not yet apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let's look at it. I done gone to preaching. And we don't have time to go there tonight, but maybe we do. I haven't got any amens from anybody. Nobody said another 4 hours or nothing tonight.
Another 4 hours, please.
All right.
The great amen.
The great amen in another 4 hours.
Thank
now watch
you,
this.
Yes, see, three of us agree.
Now watch this. I'm not going to read all these verses, but it's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, where Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, it sounds like him, where the writer's being inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, lay the foundation and move on in God. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 3. I've learned a whole lot, but I'm not going to stop at the foundation principles. I'm going to go on into perfection that I may attain that which he wants me to attain. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 12.
Sunday's even over here yelling hallelujah.
Hallelujah and glory be to God. You know, we might go 4 hours if Angel said four more hours.
I'd even hang if you had 8 hours.
Now watch this.
I can pretend to be angry for a minute.
You can pretend. Wait, did you say I could pretend to be angel or be an angel?
Angel.
No, all right. Watch this. You and I have a responsibility to grow in God. Jesus said, the disciples came and said, Jesus, why are you teaching in parables? The cookies are in the oven. You know, we would probably go 4 more hours if we were all at Sundays and there was fresh cookies on the table right next to the Bible and the coffee. We would probably go 4 more hours. Amen. But I want you to think about this. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, why do you teach them in parables? And he said, because to you, it's been given to know. Well, who's he saying that to? He was saying that to a bunch of men who left all and followed him immediately. He called all 12 of them. And they left what they were doing and followed him. Think about Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Just caught the biggest catch of fish there was and said to the boys, well, boys, That's a big catch. You guys know what to do with it. Take care of Mrs. Peter, Mrs. John, Mrs. Andrew, and Mrs. James. And get it all sold before it goes bad. But we're going to go follow Jesus. And they left their nets and followed him. Matthew left his tax thing and followed him. Luke left his physician's job and followed Jesus. And Luke wasn't even one of the 12. He just was a great scribe and wrote two very, very powerful books, Luke and Acts. It's what Luke wrote. And what a powerful testimony. Why? Because they left all and said, that's it, I'm following Jesus. And, I mean, we watched the disciples go up and down. Peter went up and down. James and John fought who is going to be. One of us wants to sit on the right and the other one on the left when you come to your kingdom. And it's like, are you kidding me? At the Last Supper, they're arguing who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me. And then they start arguing about who's the greatest. Totally missing it. Jesus said, my hour is come, and went out to pray, and they fell asleep. So every one of us have got to look at our own lives and say, I'm not going to get stuck in the foundation principles and tell myself that that's all God wants of me. I'm going to move on into perfection. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 12. Well, it's 7 through 17, like we just read. I am going to press on, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to develop, and I'm going to become established in the things of God. Why? Because God has a greater, more perfect place for me. Jesus told me that I'm going to do greater works than he did in his name, and that I can ask anything in his name, and it'll be done. I mean, think about it. Think about how powerful that is. Let's read one more verse, set of verses before we go. Where was I going? Do you remember? You're the wife. You always remember. I probably didn't say it, though, did I?
He's trying to pick it up in the...
You're trying to get it in the register.
I am at Hebrews 6, 1 through 12, and I don't know, did I
Yeah, well, no, right. That was the last place we went, but I decided not to read it because I wanted to finish with these verses. John 17, 20 through 26.
Okay, I'll read John 17, 20 through 26 at least once a day. It's worth reading again.
You might as well read it at least twice a day. Here we go.
Yeah.
John 17, 20. I do not pray for these alone. This is Jesus in the last moments of instruction to the disciples. And he's praying to the Father. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's you and I. Whose word are we believing? We're believing God the Father through Jesus, written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Romans, Paul, Philippians, Paul, Hebrews. We're believing in Jesus and the words that they spoke. Verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. If you don't ever get it before, get it tonight. Jesus is praying to the Father that you and I will get the revelation that we get to be one with the Father just like Jesus. There's just no other way to read this verse. No other way. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you, Father, sent me Jesus. When we are one with the Father and Jesus, and they're living in here, and we become one with them, the world will believe in Jesus. 22. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them that they may be one. Just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And people say, well, you can't be perfect. What do you do with that verse?
Go with it.
That you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them, as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also that you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved the world before the foundation of the world. 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. You and I get to be one with the Father, just like Jesus was one. And, you know, I truly believe that when we begin to share this revelation effectively to other people, they will come and they will see. I was getting ready to say religious terms. Let's say it like the Bible says. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And the numbers of the disciples multiplied daily. Why? Because they become one with the Father. And they had Jesus. And they realized, wait a minute, the same Spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised Christ from the dead, is living in this mortal body right now, giving this mortal body life from the inside out. Quit worrying about whether somebody can lay hands on you from the head down in. Realize you've got the same Spirit as that guy getting ready to lay hands on you, and he's living in here trying to get out there through your fingers. Talk about a revelation. The same Spirit. I know. There's a whole bunch of you that listen to me. You're like, man, I don't know about that Spirit stuff. Well, you got to figure it out. You're getting ready to stand in front of Jesus. And you're going to be judged by whether or not you believe what's in this book. I got to give you one more verse. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. It's a verse we don't say very much. But it comes to me now by the Spirit of God. Did that sound real holy? Yea, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt listen unto my son, the great man of God, to hear this word. Does it work better if I prophesy it? Watch this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4.
Yeah, we haven't read that in a long time.
We haven't. It's been like forever, and I please forgive me. There is one body. There is one Spirit. There's only one. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's only one Lord. No matter what the Baptist or the Pentecostal say, there's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God, and there's only one Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I can hear somebody saying, well, I'm passing. Then why is there so many denominations on the world? Because there's a whole bunch of people that don't believe in one Father, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, and one body. They believe they won't tell you this, but they must believe that there's many different Holy Spirits, because God wouldn't just give you his Holy Spirit. There's only one. And it's the same Holy Spirit that was at creation, and the same Holy Spirit that's in the throne room of God, and the same Holy Spirit that inspired this book to be written, and the same Holy Spirit that fills you and baptizes you and gives you your prayer language, it's the same Holy Spirit.
There's a whole bunch of country clubs that are run by board members who say, who tell the preacher, we do not want to say anything about Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, yeah, that kind of thing. And so what do you have?
Country club.
Yeah, Christian country club, which is very nice, but it isn't where you can really have communion and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why you have thousands of different denominations.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very true. And it's very sad that that people will allow a board to tell them what to believe and not get your nose in this book. Matter of fact,
it's infuriating.
Everybody's trying to keep the peace.
But God says, be angry and sin not. So I'll just pray for him.
Right.
Now, I want you to see this because this morning, as we started the morning prayer time, I did a study. Does anybody know where I put it? Oh, there it is. I'm in the wrong place. Hold on just a second. Let me just grab this. What was it that I said? Have you ever searched by faith? Yeah, there it is. By faith. There it is. This morning, as I when I got up and took a shower and was getting ready, I was just talking with God, and he said, have you ever studied how many times in the New Testament it says by faith? And I'm like, well, obviously, if I have, it didn't make a deep impact because I have no idea. 40 times in the New Testament, in the King James Version, it says the phrase, by faith. Well, guess what that means? We should probably know all 40 of those. And have them on the inside of us, because by faith are you saved. Wait, by grace are you saved through faith. The just shall live by faith. So why are you saying this to us, Pastor? Because anytime you allow any board to tell you what to believe rather than this book, you have gone astray and left the faith and are following a doctrine of a man.
I have loved the Word of God since I was 3 years old.
Amen.
Maybe even before that.
Amen. Amen. And in our day, now see, back in the day, I don't have my Strong's in here, do I? No, it's still in West Branch. I was going to grab it when I was there, but the big thick one? I don't have it here, do I? I don't have it here. The big Strong's Exhaustive Concordance was a book about this wide, about that tall, and about that thick. And it literally lists every word in the Bible and how many times that word is mentioned in the Bible and gives the reference of it in the Bible, including the A, and the, if, I, he, she, it literally lists them all. Back in the day, that was a powerful tool for a preacher. But you really had to be a very serious student of that word to get in there and write it out in notes and write it out. But Mr. Strong's did it. I think he did that book in the early 1900s. I mean, they put 100,000 hours into the book. But in the day that you and I live, you can get it on an app.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have an app. You can just open up a browser and go to BibleGateway.com and search by faith. And it will show you exactly how many times it's there. In our day, there's no reason not to know. If we don't know, it's because we don't turn off all the distractions and chase it. The greatest distractions any of us can have in our day is Facebook and all the social media stuff, which just sucks your time because it's so easy to just open it up and just start scrolling. It's mindless. It does no faith benefit to you at all. Certainly, you might see a few friends and like a few things and say hi to a few people, and there's nothing wrong with that. Until that has taken your whole day, mm-hmm. and you have zero time with the Father. And then you wonder why your life isn't charging and conquering and blessing and helping other people. God wants us to. Isn't that just interesting? Well, do what I'm seeing. Let me just show it to you. I keep hearing the words, show them. So I will show y'all. I'll show all y'all. Stop the video. There we go. Let's go here. Watch this. Can you see it? Can't see this screen?
Oh, yeah.
Duck, go. Okay. So I'm going to type in there, Bible Gateway. You'll notice that it's already in there in my Bible or in my search. And then you go to BibleGateway.com. Watch how easy this is. See right here where it says enter the passage, keyword, or topic. Can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to put in there by faith. That was the phrase. And I don't like the New International. Well, I'll keep that to myself. Let's get a real version of the Bible. So, by faith, the words by and faith are used 84 times in the Bible. Not necessarily by phrase. I don't know how you search by phrase. Let me see. Topical, yeah. No, not like that. The Bible. So you can see that right here, they automatically picked up every time it says by and faith in here. Now, let's look at Habakkuk 2:1. He will say to me, and I will answer when I'm corrected, the just shall live by faith. It's not 2:1. It is 2:4. The just shall live by his faith. All right? So Acts 15:9. Make no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts. Your hearts are purified by faith. You and I can see the simplicity of this study. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do what I just did. Now, I didn't sign in or log in, but you could literally sign in and log into this, and they would probably save your searches and everything right in this webpage. I don't know. I've never gone and studied it any farther than that because I use my eSword and the programs like that. But this is the reality of it. This is literally how simple this is. Now, the next ones, you go down, there's Corinthians, Galatians, and Galatians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Thessalonians and Philemon, and you just keep going. There it is in Hebrews. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Wait, look at that one. I like that. By faith, the harlot. Even harlots get to have faith. Wait, this harlot had faith and left with the children of Israel, and literally because she received God was in the lineage of Jesus. Now, what's the purpose of showing us this, Pastor? Because God wants you and I to realize how simple it is and how simple he's made it in these end times to find him and find his word. He's made it very simple. The challenge is, will you and I put away the distractions and enter in faith? And I love it because the parable of the sower, he said, to him who has revelation, more will be given. And then he said, with the same measure of search that you put out is the measure of revelation that you're going to receive. How wonderful is that? That's it. I'm done. Not really. But that's all I'm saying for now. It's time for us to receive communion. Wow. And the 92nd lady showed up. All right. I don't know why that lady used to be so scary.
Scary?
Remember how she'd say that? And we'd all just jump like, whoa, who do you think you are sneaking in there like that? Maybe we were just a little more intense back then. Oh, she got me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to know you. Thank you that it's not just an opportunity to know about you, but it's the opportunity to know you. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him, Jesus, that I might know the power of his resurrection. Jesus, we choose to know you, the living word. We choose to reach out, to grow, to develop, to expand, to increase, to abound. We think about the different studies that we have done throughout the last couple of years and how we just look at it and say, give us more revelation. Thank you for faith. Thank you for hope. Thank you for love. Thank you for it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Thank you for the abundant life that you have provided for us. We choose to know you, Father. We choose to know you because we choose to know Jesus. And we receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. You love the word of God. I love the word. What we've just done in this study, it amazes me how time that fast goes. You see what time it is?
Oh my goodness.
It just amazes me how fast that time goes. But what happens is we get into that zone of the revelation of God's word. We call it a zone. We probably just need to say it. We start in that revelation. And once you get in there and that revelation begins flowing, you just like, no, I want more. Give me another verse. Yeah, give me another verse. Yeah, give me another verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what's happened. Now, for those of you that are with us, and maybe this is the first time with us, we're now going to receive the communion elements together. We do this every time we come together in the evening like this because we've been assigned to do that by our Heavenly Father. You might be one of those who say, well, Pastor, it's been good studying with you and everything, but I can't receive communion with anybody but my own pastor. That's actually not the word of God. We won't command you to do something that you're uncomfortable with, but we command you to study the Bible and find out if that's actually true. Don't judge anybody that you find saying those statements, but the reality is anytime the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ is broken and offered, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you should be able to receive it with them. What's Paul say? We're going to read it right now. The only thing is that you must judge yourself. And then, if you've done wrong, pray. If you find yourself that you're in God and you're walking with him, then you're welcome to receive the communion elements. Anybody that teaches you anything outside of that are teaching you the doctrines of man. We don't judge them. We don't talk about them. And we don't not follow somebody that doesn't have this revelation. Does that make sense how I said that? Mm-hmm. Study the word. Have you read your Bible lately to see what it actually says? Because that's what's important. You can throw all kinds of things at me online. It's okay because it can't hit me. I need to duck. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the Bible. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation so we know that everybody that's with us is right with God. Give you 2 minutes of instruction, and then we'll receive the communion elements together. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man or a woman examine themselves. I'm not to examine you. You're not to examine me. We're to examine ourselves. I'm not even to examine my own wife. And she most certainly is not supposed to examine me. This is the Bible. Then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Not only that judgment, because as he is right now, so are we in the world. He's the head for the body. Verse 18. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. In trauma, I bind you in the name of Jesus right now. And I declare your grip is broken. The lives of these people, and they're free to receive communion unhindered, unafraid by any force from their past. In Jesus' mighty name. That's a powerful word. I love it. Ready? Let's pray the prayer of salvation. I'm going to pray it. Sister Lynn's going to pray with me. You follow her. When you're in, and within 2 minutes, all your sins are going to be forgiven, and you're going to be right with God if you mean it from the depths of your heart. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Aren't you glad that we can say it? And it's true. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in
you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Your hands out and just do it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your
filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Filling every part of me.
Filling every part of me.
So I understand the word.
So I understand the word.
Live in power every day.
Live in power.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray
and live a successful life as a believer.
And live a successful life as a believer.
Because you live in me.
Because you live in me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Welcome to the family of God. You just did it. You prayed the prayer and you're now a believer. Want to shout it with me like B.J. Thomas? Hey, I'm a believer now, since Jesus saved my life. Who in the world was B.J. Thomas, Pastor? He's a man that got saved. He got saved, and he wrote a good Christian song. Hey, I'm a believer now. Anyways, this is what just happened. You said, Jesus, come in. He did. You said, fill me with your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness, and all of that just... Well, I thought I joined a church or I became some weird Christian or something. Nope, you're just a believer. These signs follow believers. Cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. Yeah, you can. See, God Almighty just filled you in all of your life because you asked him to. Can you think about this? You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a powerful statement. And it's a wonderful, amazing revelation that all of us need to see and know and understand. Put my email address and website in there. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to do this. Or how do you be a believer and all that? The number one thing you do every day when you wake up in the morning is you look up at that ceiling and you wake up and say, Father, help me walk with you in Jesus' mighty name. What's he do? He helps you walk with him in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody ought to shout amen or something.
Amen or something.
My email address and website's right down there. See if I can get my finger in the right spots. Right down there. In the comments, in the notes of this program. Those of you that's on Blog Talk Radio, you can find it right there in the notes of the program. I encourage you, click like, hit the subscribe button, and hit the bell so that you can be connected to us. We got a program that's called Read the Word, where we're reading through the Bible chronologically from the book of Genesis all the way. We're almost to the end of the Old Testament. 10 more days, and we'll be done with the Old Testament. Amazing. And your life will be transformed if you'll just do that. It's in a playlist. If you start in Genesis and just come all the way through, you're going to see a picture of God and his word and his people like you've never seen before. And it'll be a blessing to you. And then join us here every night so we can help you be established in your faith. That's the name of this program. Jesus mighty name. You ready? Get you some grape juice and bread, some bread and water, and let's receive our communion elements together. I know some of you have been like, wow, Pastor, this is amazing. What's going on the inside of me? I'm not ready. Grab your phone and run to the kitchen. But if it's a desktop, don't grab your computer and run to the kitchen, okay? Click pause and then come back, because we made it so that you can pause this. At least you're supposed to be able to pause this and then pick right up where we left off, even if we're already moved on. Ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed.
And
there will not be one feeble one amongst us. According to the word of God. I add that phrase and I've totally lost where I am in my prayer. See. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's receive the bread. Hallelujah.
Amen, body of Christ. Good for me.
I got so excited about that new phrase that I just totally forgot where I was at in my prayer. But guess what? It's all led by the Holy Spirit, and we receive it in faith in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Been there, done that.
Ready? We lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission. Don't you just love, every time I say that, I go way out there. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm back. By the blood of Jesus, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for all I need. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I overcome every day. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. This is one of my favorite blood of Jesus ones. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. And there's no more condemnation in my life. Not in my past or not in my present.
My
conscience is purged.
My
robes are made white.
And
I will always be
the
glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
Jesus, mighty name. Let's
Amen.
Receive the blood of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God.
Glory, glory.
And now I want to sing this song. We keep singing it, but we're going to get it yet, and we're going to understand it all. We're going to sing it all. Hold on just a second. Because one of my favorite songs about the blood. It's becoming, because it's not in the hymnal yet. Because Charity Gale is not old enough to be in the hymnal yet. It's like the little boy said when he saw Bill Gaither, he said, well, he looks like a young guy. And they said, well, why would you say that? He said, well, I thought everybody in the hymnal was an old guy.
Well, now, if I wrote it down on a sheet of paper and put that sheet of paper in my hymnal, isn't that the same thing as I say it's in the hymnal?
Amen, sister. Amen. Now, hold on just a second here. I'm going to share the screen. There we go. There we go. Let's try this. See if we can sing it. You should be able to see that. I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by the Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. If you haven't heard that song by Charity Gale, then go immediately from this program and look it up on YouTube and find the song. And if you're an iTunes person, buy it on iTunes and support her. Give her some money. That's a good thing. Because it's a powerful, powerful song. I know if you're on YouTube, you might be like, wow, Pastor, that just does not harmonize and it doesn't sing well. But you know what? I'm not going to stop singing just because it can't be perfect. And guess what?
I did a pretty good job.
And guess what? If you listen to all of us sing, we're all singing it and giving glory to God.
Amen.
And that's what is important. And, you know, there's a whole lot of people in this world that call themselves perfectionists. And literally what they are imperfectionists.
Yeah.
Because they go around seeing everything that's imperfect. But I love what Brother Driscoll says. And he was at Dr. Barclay's and said it again, and it was so powerful. If you're doing exactly what God gave you to do, and you're doing it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, remember, your blessing and your reward doesn't come from man. It comes from God. So whether or not the imperfectionists are listening and pointing their finger and saying things, man, it's not this, man, whatever. If you're not doing it, don't make fun of us who are. The glory belongs to those who are actually in the pit doing it.
Well, if they didn't enjoy our singing, they're just going to have to listen to Charity singing.
Please listen to Charity singing. And then when you come here, if you don't know how to sing, pray for me so I sing better. Anyways, now, we always say this every time we come here because we have a closing set of verses we do every time we come on purpose. Not to fill up time, but because of the power of these verses. Sister Phyllis is going to read to us out of the book of Jude.
Okay, Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And I'd like to read Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And you and I are the ones that's showing the glory and functioning in the dominion in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for being with us tonight. We'll see you in the morning, 8 p.m., 8 a.m. Let me see. I'll get it right. We'll see you in the morning.
God bless you all.
9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central for Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, where we're actually in a time of prayer every day, doing the work that God's given us to do, establishing righteousness on this earth. And then join us for Read the Word as we read through the Word of God chronologically throughout this year. In Jesus' mighty name. And until we see you again. Oh, no, we got one more thing to do. Hold your hands up like this. Pray this prayer with me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That I have time, talent, and treasure to sow.
That I have time, talent, and treasure to sow.
To do the work of this ministry. I receive the 100-fold return. That belongs to me because I just sowed my seed
into
all of these people's lives.
I pray.
I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. We love you.
We love you. We love you.
God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.
He is Lord.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. God bless you on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you again real soon. Share this with everybody you know. Be a blessing to them. In Jesus' mighty name.